What's up, everybody, and welcome to Mentors Collective. If you're like me and money means a lot to you, then keeping it and growing it is important to you. So this episode, we're going to learn how to do that with some fun alternative investment options. And I am very lucky, and we are very lucky, to have a guest that is one of the most sought after and respected educators in the self-directed IRA industry. He has trained over 60,000 investors with over 400 workshops, and he is the director of the Equity Trust Company. And he's going to be working with me to teach you and to educate me as well as some ways to grow your money, some really fun alternative investment options, as well as a self-directed IRA. John, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I am pumped to talk about investing. Yeah.
Likewise, Jay. Thanks so much for having me. Delighted to be here and excited to share with your audience a little bit more about financial planning outside of the realm of traditional investments, more in the what we'll call alternative investment realm, whether it be real estate, cryptocurrency, precious metals. You can really ask me any question about any of those particular topics, along with any retirement planning specific topics.
Well, let's get into it. I want to kind of start with a story just to preface for the audience and for you. I thought I was a rock star investor back in 2020, 2021. I made a ton of money in Robinhood, on the tech surge, on crypto. And then, man, late 2021, 2022, 2023 came around, and I lost a fortune, multi-six figures. It was an absolute nightmare. I closed down my Robinhood account, hired a financial advisor, and really started digging into like what made me such a bad investor and started looking at some alternative investment options. So I'm excited to dig in with you and learn a little bit more about this world, about what else is out there, maybe some safe and some risky plays that people can make. But I know it's been an interesting year for investors. So I kind of wanted to start off with, what have you seen over the past few years with the world of investing?
Yeah. So, and I'll even go back further than that. When I started in the alternative asset IRA arena, it was about 15 years ago. So we were in the heart, if you will, or getting close to the Great Recession. And then the Great Recession hit. And a lot of Americans that I was speaking to at that time, they unfortunately suffered severe losses in their IRAs, 401ks, and other retirement plans, primarily because they were solely invested in the traditional financial markets, that is the stock market. And fortunately, many people were able to climb out of that and they were able to recover from those losses. And then at about two, we saw a massive surge of inventory in real estate. Mm-hmm. And a big part of what I have done over the last 15 years and what our company here, Equity Trust Company, does is we help individuals that want to use IRA, 401ks, or other retirement plans to invest in real estate, whether that's buying a single family residential rental property, renting it out for cash flow comes back into their retirement plan, tax deferred or tax free, or making a loan to a real estate investor, or investing in a private real estate investment trust, or a real estate syndication, like an apartment building type project. The idea is investing outside of the traditional stock market. And so it was really a perfect storm in the aftermath of the Great Recession. And a lot of Americans began to transition or migrate percentages or their entire retirement savings accounts, whether it be IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, thrift savings plans, into a self-directed IRA, which then would enable them to take control and be able to invest in the assets that they deem as a best fit for their portfolio. Now, fast forward to call it 2020, the pandemic hit. And so in March to April of 2020, a lot of Americans suffered severe losses. Now, fortunately, they recovered pretty quickly from those losses. And we saw a lot of stimulus, obviously, at that time. And that was really an event that was sort of outside of the historical trends that we look at from a market fundamental perspective. Then fast forward to 2022. So what happened towards the end of 2022? Well, interest rates started to rise. And there was a lot of hawkish commentary out of the Federal Reserve and the meetings held by the Federal Reserve. And obviously, the markets were in turbulence at that time. So a lot of Americans started to suffer losses in their traditional retirement portfolios that were invested solely in index funds, mutual funds, or other asset classes that really what we would call hug the stock market or hug the traditional markets. Now, we've seen somewhat of a recovery from that. But the reality is what I am seeing and what I'm hearing is a lot of Americans, they no longer trust the traditional forms of investing. And they look to investing in alternative assets, assets that generally speaking are not correlated to the traditional financial markets, that being the stock market or fixed income securities. And when we talk about these non-stock market-based investments or alternative assets, again, I talked about real estate, but it goes beyond real estate. It could be investing in private equity. It could be venture capital. Some people, they hear those terms and they might be intimidated by that, or they might think, well, that's for the big institutional investors. You know, yeah. I'm just a small guy. I'm an individual investor myself. And so I know I was very intimidated by that. But then I learned how I could invest in a startup company. So if I have a friend that has, let's say, a landscaping business that he's trying to get up under off the ground, or an HVAC business or a car dealership, I could actually use my retirement savings accounts to invest in Main Street America instead of Wall Street. And that's why a lot of our customers come to Equity Trust. That's why a lot of folks have come to our training programs, our podcasts, and everything else that we've done. And I really appreciate the opportunity here, Jay, to be on the podcast, because there are no national advertisements for investing in alternatives with your IRAs. You're not going to see it on CNBC Squawk Box in the middle of the day. You're not going to see it on your national media outlets. These are alternative asset investments that most people in financial services don't want to talk about, because they only make money when they're selling traditional financial products, that being stocks, individual mutual funds, managed portfolios. They make money investing in those types of assets, whereas our clients make money when they're taking control and actually managing their money on their own.
You said a few things that I really want to hover on and circle back on here. One, I had no idea that you could direct your 401k and IRA money to invest in anything other than like ETFs and stocks. The way that I've been, I guess, taught over the years, like I'm sure a lot of the people that you work with, is you have a financial advisor, you put your 401k and your IRA, you know, automatically you invest it, and then they put it in mutual funds and ETFs, and then you reap some of the tax benefits of it. I didn't know that it was even an option to invest in some of these alternatives with it. So I'd love to dive into each of those alternatives a little bit on their own that you mentioned, you know, real estate, venture capital. But before we do that, let's talk for a little bit for those listeners that don't know what a lot of these terms mean, right? We're talking about 401ks and IRAs. A lot of people don't necessarily invest into their IRAs or don't know how to or where it's managed. Maybe it's managed through their employer. So can you just break down quickly, like, what is a 401k? What is an IRA?
Yeah, absolutely. So a 401k and an IRA, you'll also hear terms like 403b, deferred compensation, pension. These are all just retirement plans. And it all started back in 1974 under the Employee Retirement Income Securities Act. Now, we're not going to spend much time talking about that because it'll bore everybody. But the point that I want to make is this all came about in 1974. Coincidentally, our company was founded, or the predecessor of Equity Trust was founded in 1974. So it wasn't until 1974 that Americans really had access to IRAs, and then eventually you had 401ks and other retirement plans. Prior to 1974, you had pensions, if you were lucky enough to go work for a company of a pension. And you had Social Security, the government pension, if you will, or government retirement. That was really it. And then IRAs and all these other retirement plans came about. But to answer the question, Jay, as far as 401ks and IRAs, 401ks, generally speaking, you go work for a company and they give you the benefit of being able to contribute to the 401k, and then they might match you up to a certain amount. Mm-hmm. Now, the unfortunate aspect of 401ks is that generally you can only invest in traditional investments. So they'll give you a lineup of mutual funds that you can allocate your money into, and that's your only option. You're not going to be able to invest in real estate, cryptocurrency, gold and silver. You can't really self-direct. You're locked into those specific asset classes. Now, that doesn't mean 401ks are bad, because there's a lot of benefits to 401ks. And I encourage a lot of Americans to take full advantage of their 401k at their job. Because if you're contributing, you have your company that might match you. So call that free money. Now, eventually, you do have to pay taxes on that money, all right? So not everything is free, right? There's no free lunch, like they say. But the point is, you can save more for retirement, and your employer is going to help you actually do that. Now, separate from that, you have an IRA. And any American, as long as they have earned income, can contribute to an IRA. It's really easy to do. For the tax year 2023, you can contribute up to $6,500 when you're under 50, up to $7,500 when you're 50 and over. Add a spouse in there and they can contribute $6,500 or $7,500. And so you can start getting, you know, a significant amount of money into these IRAs on an annual basis. Now, the good news about IRAs from an investment perspective is you have a lot more freedom and flexibility. So you can go and open up an IRA at your local bank or a traditional financial services brokerage house. All right. So think national television advertising. I'm not going to mention any names. You go up an IRA with them. It's really easy to do, usually no cost, but you're only going to be able to self-direct into mutual funds and stocks. That's it.
Yes.
If you want to buy real estate, if you want to invest in real estate syndications, apartment buildings, real estate partnerships, cryptocurrency, gold and silver, startup companies, that's where you have to work with a custodian that will allow you to open a true self-directed IRA. And I think it is important, Jay, to mention that self-directed IRA is just an industry term. So it just tells the investor that they can self-direct into these alternative non-stock market-based investments, but it's not an account type. So you're not going to go to the tax code 4975 or 408 or any of the other, you know, again, kind of non-interesting areas of reading. I'll just tell you that it's not going to say self-directed. It's going to say individual retirement arrangement. That's actually what it's called. Or it's going to refer to the 401k under Section 401. Nowhere is going to say self-directed. That doesn't mean that you can't self-direct. Self-directed, again, is just an industry term. In fact, the tax law, the tax code, is exclusive rather than being inclusive. So the government only tells us what we can't invest in, not what we can invest in. And I can tell you, in being in this business for 15 years and investing in real estate with my IRAs, private money lending, investing in non-stock market-based investments, that the amount of investments that we can't do with our IRA is about this big compared to the amount of investments that we can actually do in our IRA. So investors get, Jay, very creative. We could probably do an entire podcast on all the interesting investments that I've worked on with the clients that I've worked with over the years, over 5,000 individuals, from investing in farms, to investing in offshore funds, to investing in venture capital, to buying boat slips, boat docks. I had a guy buy a food truck with his IRA. So there's all different ways in which you can get really creative and invest in something that you're also passionate about. You know, that's one of the things I tell a lot of folks about, Jay, is, you know, if it's real estate you're passionate about, you can invest in real estate with your IRA, as I am. I love buying homes, fixing them up, and putting individuals in those homes in an affordable way. Affordable home ownership or affordable home renters. That's something I really focus on in a lot of the clients I work with. But I've had doctors, for example. I understand that that's your background, Jay. And I have a retired surgeon. He uses his IRAs to invest in startup surgical companies that are developing surgical equipment, and then they're going to try to exit through selling to like a Medtronic or one of these other big medical device manufacturing. And so that's what he does. He invests in sort of startup venture capital type firms that are in the medical field. So you can take a lot of your passions and your interests and focus that in on investing with your retirement savings accounts and taking more control so that you're not at the mercy of the traditional financial markets.
Cool. I'm excited to dive in and learn about some of those creative investment strategies that you can do with your self-directed IRA. But let's dive a little bit deeper into the strategy. So how do you actually open a self-directed IRA? Who do you talk to?
Yeah, so you would talk to a firm like Equity Trust. That's what we do. We provide education, information, answer customers' questions. And then when they're ready to open up a self-directed IRA, I tell folks it's no different than opening up a bank account. So if you've opened up a bank account, you can open up an IRA. It's pretty straightforward. You open up the account. It's a simple application process, just like opening a bank account. And at that point, the account is open. And then you transfer or roll over your funds from wherever the funds are currently held at. Now, some people 401k, some people have an IRA, maybe a Roth IRA or SEP IRA or simple IRA. So there's different types of accounts. And some accounts are known as tax deferred accounts, meaning when you put the money in, you got a tax deduction, it grows tax deferred. And then when you take it out in your retirement years, you pay taxes. And then there's other accounts, which are known as Roth IRAs or Roth accounts, which are funded with after-tax dollars. They grow tax-free, and then when you take the money out, you don't pay any taxes. The Roth IRA can be highly advantageous for investors, by the way, and that's something for the audience to take away is the Roth IRA can be one of the most powerful savings vehicles or savings vessels, as I like to call it, known to man. You can put money in after tax, you grow it tax-free, and so as long as you follow the rules, you take the money out, you pay 0% tax. I call that compounding interest in the absence of taxation. And so as far as opening an account, it's very easy to do. I do caution all investors, if they know they want to self-direct, they know they want to invest in alternative non-stock market-based assets, know that your current financial institution is not always willing to give up the money overnight. In fact, they're probably going to hold on to that money as long as they can. And a lot of them do, unfortunately, in my experience. So when I say as long as they can, that doesn't mean months and years. What that means is, you know, it might take a week, week and a half, 2 weeks to get your money moved from point A to point B. So for folks that want to self-direct, we always encourage them to get started sooner rather than later. And I'll also mention, Jay, that there's no taxes or penalties to move money from one account to another. One of the most common misconceptions and fears that I hear in the industry is, if I move my money over, transfer it from one bank or financial institution to equity, or if I roll over my 401k, there's going to be some sort of adverse tax consequences or penalties. And that's so far from the truth. We wouldn't be in business if people had to be taxed and penalized to move their money over and then invest in real estate or other alternatives. And same goes with investing. A common question I get is, John, if I take the money out and buy a piece of real estate or invest in a venture capital fund or cryptocurrency or gold and silver, are there taxes or penalties? And the answer is no. You're simply making an investment akin to investing in stocks and mutual funds. When your IRA buys a stock or mutual fund, cash leaves the account. In return for that cash is a stock certificate. Same concept when you buy real estate or invest in a venture capital fund or whatever you're doing. Cash leaves the account. In return for that cash is a deed to a property or a privately held stock certificate or physical gold and silver or digital assets like cryptocurrency. So really important for audience members to take note that there aren't severe tax consequences or penalties there.
That is good to know. That was a question that I had. Now let's talk a little bit about who actually manages this money from the IRA. Once you deposit it into equity trust, and obviously you're only allowed to deposit a limited amount into your IRA every single year. So the amount is going to be limited. Now, say you want to take that amount and invest it into real estate, and you need to put a deposit on a house. That deposit's going to be $200,000, $300,000. Are you allowed to contribute a portion of that down payment with your IRA? And how do you get the money from your IRA account to that deal? Or is that directed by a manager such as yourself or your company?
Yeah. So best way to think of it is equity trust, myself, we don't sell investment products. We don't solicit investment opportunities, which is good. So the investors that come to Equity Trust, they no longer want someone directing their entire retirement portfolio. Now, some people just move a percentage of their retirement portfolio to Equity Trust to self-manage, and then they keep their financial advisor over here managing the other percentage of their portfolio, and that's right. Fine. We're not anti-financial advisor or promote, don't work with a financial advisor. In fact, I promote the opposite for people that just want a percentage allocation to alternatives. Some people want 100% alternatives. I'll speak personally, Jay. My portfolio is 90% alternatives, 10% public equities. Now, that's me personally because I take a very active role in managing my own money. Other people are maybe more passive in that regard. So I'm not going to dictate to someone how they allocate their portfolio. But for people that want, let's say, a percentage of their portfolio over to Equity Trust, to answer your question, they'll move the money over to the Equity Trust IRA. They're going to manage that portion. Equity Trust isn't going to tell them where to invest. The client's going to provide direction to Equity Trust as their custodian to send funds to wherever those funds need to go to. Using your example, let's say it's real estate, and they need, let's call it $15,000 for an earnest money deposit. So that earnest money deposit is going to be paid for from the IRA. IRA is going to send funds out. The property title is going to be in the name of the Equity Trust IRA. And then at closing, the remaining amount necessary will be sent from the Equity Trust IRA out to the title company. And Equity Trust has an online digital interface where our customers can go online and make their requests. So it's simple and easy and efficient to direct their funds from their IRA out to wherever those funds need to go to. Now, if it was going to be a scenario where it wasn't a cash buyer purchase, maybe the client doesn't have enough money in their IRA to be a cash buyer, or maybe they want to use leverage because they can buy two or three homes instead of just one. There is the capability of using the IRA as a down payment on a property, an investment property, let's clarify there. And in that instance, the investor would just need to be aware of the fact that they need to obtain what's called a non-recourse loan. In other words, the investor cannot personally guarantee the debt. And there are certain lenders that will lend on what is known as a non-recourse basis. So important for investors to understand that. You could be a cash buyer if you have the ability to do that. I'm seeing that a lot right now, especially with interest rates being really high. And there's a real estate correction that we've experienced. So individuals are finding asset prices that are lower than what they were at the peak in 2022. And so investors are taking advantage of using their IRAs as a cash buyer. Or again, they can use their IRA as a down payment and then bring in financing. So as long as that financing is structured properly, and there are certain lenders that will do that for your IRA. I should mention, Jay, that this should be for investment purposes only. So your IRA is a highly tax privileged account.
Yes.
Meaning all of the rental income is tax exempt. And when you sell the property, there's no long-term capital gains tax. There's no long-term recapture depreciation. And so there's a lot of these tax benefits. With that, investors should know that they can't use it for their own personal use. So I can't buy a home with my IRA and live in it personally, or let my children live in it, or my parents or in-laws live in it. Those would be considered prohibited transactions. So the IRS, the government, the tax law does prohibit certain transactions. And those are the types of transactions that I'm speaking to. You want to make sure that you're doing this for investment purposes only. And lastly, to conclude, I'll give you an example. Personally, I bought a property in March of 2020. And I bought this, it was a single family property, single family residential rental in Maple Heights, Ohio, which is right outside of Cleveland. That's where I'm headquartered here in Ohio. And it's this specific property actually had two units. So it was a residential rental property, but it had two units, an upper and lower, both of which had tenants. One of the tenants was struggling to pay rent. So I inherited these two tenants. I knew I was inheriting a property with deferred maintenance and tenant issues, but I bought the property at a pretty deep discount. So I knew what I was getting into when I bought the property. And I knew I had about $15,000 in deferred maintenance, and I had to stabilize the property from a tenancy perspective. And so what we did is I bought the property using my self-directed IRAs. In fact, I used two different self-directed IRAs, a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA, one tax deferred, one tax free. So jump to the conclusion here. After 2 years of getting the property stabilized, we put repairs into the property to take care of all the deferred maintenance that have accumulated over the years, and also took care of the tenants. And so we stabilized it from a tenancy perspective, got it cash flowing positively, $750 per month per unit for $1,500 gross per month, about $1,200 to $1,250 on the net operating income. And then we sold it in May of 2022 for $115,000. So we bought it for $63,000, put some work into it, got it stabilized, sold it for $115,000. Made about $35,000 in profit for a 32% annualized cash on cash return. Now, that was while the stock market was, of course, down about 15 to 20% at that time. We took our $35,000 in profit and we paid 0% tax, because there's no long-term capital gains tax in your retirement plan. So as long as you're following all the rules and you own it 100% as a cash buyer. And so in this instance, if we compare that to had I done this investment outside of my IRAs, we would have still made $35,000 in profit, but we would have paid $5,000 in long-term capital gains tax. So my wife and I, instead, we sold it. We had it in our IRA. We sold it. We saved $5,000 in taxes. And then we took that $5,000 plus our $30,000 in profit, and we rolled it into another real estate transaction. Now, the next transaction we did was actually a private money loan. So we made a loan to a real estate flipper to flip a house. And that money actually paid back to us with interest at a rate of 8.667% in November to December of 2022. So again, while everybody was licking their wounds in the stock market, fortunately, we were generating profit. I call that our weatherproofing strategy. So we're weatherproofing our IRA from those stock market conditions that we see happen all too often. Again, that's not to say don't invest in the public markets or there's not opportunity there. I know there can be opportunity investing in the public markets. A lot of people make money. A lot of people lose money too.
With all of this money coming and going in and out of your IRA, with you guys as the custodian, whereas normally it kind of stays in there and you acquire, you know, shares and mutual funds and ETFs, with the money coming and going, and let's use your real estate deal, for example. You sell the house, you have all of these tax-free profits. Does that money go back into the IRA? Because it technically has to stay in there, right?
That's right. So think of it just like buying a stock or mutual fund. You buy the asset and then dividends and capital gains flow back in. Same concept with real estate. You buy the real estate and all the expenses are paid for from the IRA and all the profits go directly back into the IRA. And all of those profits are going to grow either tax deferred if it's a traditional account, or if you have a Roth IRA, everything is tax-free. All your growth is tax-free. All your distributions are tax-free in your retirement. So 0% tax rate. You leave it to your children or grandchildren, and it's tax-free to them as well. And Jay, that's another thing that I'm probably getting a little ahead of my skis here, but I'll bring it up because I think it's super powerful. Legacy planning and estate planning. Nobody wants to talk about what's going to happen when we pass away, right? Or even think about passing away, especially for those that are a little bit younger. But you know what? I have seen horror stories personally, and that's what drove me, even at a young age, to really be disciplined in my estate and legacy planning. And here's the deal. With my Roth IRAs, those accounts are left to my whoever I want to leave it to, spouse, children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, brothers, whoever. And it's tax-free because it's in the Roth account, and it avoids probate. So I have some sort of built-in estate planning and legacy planning in that account. Also, IRAs, in many instances, fall under the creditor protection rules. And so up to a certain amount, I have some protection there. So if something happens over here, I'm not worried about my IRAs, creditors being able to access my IRA. So I like to say that IRAs have unique predator and creditor protections.
I did not know that. And I have a Roth IRA. I highly recommend anyone listening to this podcast that doesn't have one, go open one. So very cool, John. One last question I have for you regarding self-directed IRAs. Everything that you're saying sounds awesome. I would love for you to give us the kind of honest pitfalls to self-directed IRA. Are there anything that people need to be concerned about? Is there anyone that might be excluded from benefiting from this type of program?
Yes. And Jay, thank you for asking the question. Not everybody asks me these questions when they interview me. And I appreciate these questions. In fact, I have trainings on YouTube. You can go to youtube.com and check out our training videos that we have on there. And I talk about, you know, some of the negatives of self-directed IRAs so people can watch out for the goblins that are lurking in the shadows. So to answer the question, Jay, first thing for people to understand is that there are what are called prohibited transactions. And we got into this a little bit. So what you need to know is that there are what are called disqualified persons to your IRA. Disqualified persons would include yourself, your spouse, your children, your parents, your grandchildren, your grandparents. So think anybody up and down the family tree, in yourself, in your spouse, and then any businesses that you own and operate. You know, so for example, Jay, you have a very successful podcast business. You're the owner of that podcast business. So that podcast business is a disqualified person to you. So Jay, if you came to me and said, hey, I want to use my IRA and fund my podcast business, and then all my revenues are going to go back to my IRA, I'm going to tell you, Jay, unfortunately, you can't do it. It's a prohibited transaction. So you got to be mindful of this. And I mentioned before that the IRS only tells us and the government tells us what we can't do, not what we can do. So we can't transact with disqualified persons. Let me give you some examples. If I own a business, just like I mentioned there, I can't use my IRA and fund that business.
Right.
Let's say I own a property now. It's a rental property. and I want to figure out how to get into my IRA, because in my mind, I'm thinking, hey, all this tax-free gains and tax-free benefits that John's talking about, I want to take that property that I'm paying taxes on now and figure out how to get it into my IRA so I don't have to pay taxes. Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to do that. All right. What about if I want to take money from my IRA and make a loan to myself personally, or I want to loan money to my daughter? Those are going to be considered prohibited transactions. And when you learn about these rules, what you find very quickly is they're sort of common sense, right? So you look at it, you say, okay, I get it. The IRA is super tax privileged. It's very beneficial. And obviously the IRS isn't going to allow us to double dip, or they're not going to allow us to personally benefit in the here and now. So that's the first thing for folks to understand. The second thing that folks should understand is we are talking about investing in alternative assets here. Okay, non-stock market based investments. Now, the risk to reward spectrum, right? So basic finance 101, the more risk you take on, the more illiquid an asset generally is. Illiquid meaning you can't just sell it on the open market today and get cash like you can when you're invested in a mutual fund or a stock, right? And the more risk and the more illiquid you are, the higher your return should be. Not Yes. always the case, but that's the way it should be. When you're looking at investments, the more risk you're taking on, the higher yield you should be able to obtain. That's why you see when people are investing in VC, venture capital type funds, startups, angel investing, generally the returns can be significant because they're taking on a greater deal of risk. That being said, it's important to understand that for investors that they're doing their due diligence on the investments they're making and the companies and the people that they're investing with, right? Because there's bad actors out there, right? There's people that run investment schemes that end up being fraudulent. And so you want to be mindful of that and look out for that. Your IRA custodian, so for example, Equity Trust, we're asking the customer, we're asking you to do your own due diligence. If we were doing all the due diligence for you, we wouldn't be able to offer our services at an affordable rate and allow you to self-direct into alternatives. That's why you can't invest in alternatives with your traditional brokerage firms, because most of them are functioning in some kind of fiduciary capacity where they don't want to take on the risk of allowing you to invest in these alternatives. So just understand that risk to reward spectrum and make sure you do your due diligence. And lastly, I'll mention real estate crowdfunding. So you'll see a lot of opportunities of being able to go online and you find these platforms that allow you to very easily, and in many cases with an IRA, invest in real estate. And going back to that risk to reward. So what happens in those real estate transactions is generally you're illiquid. You can't just take your money out whenever you want. They're not going to let you do that. Because if everybody took their money out, there would be no money to manage the real estate. So you got to keep your money in there. But generally what they give you in return for you tying up your money is potentially greater returns than what the stock market is going to yield. And so you want to look at these funds and these opportunities and the potential, the forecasted internal rate of return or forecasted return on your investment, and compare that to what you could make in the stock market. And so there's opportunities like that investors can take a look at, but know that they're, generally speaking, not going to be able to just sell those positions whenever they want and get back into a cash format when they want to.
Cool. Well, John, thank you for the transparency on some of the fallbacks there. All of those things sound very reasonable. Now, John, for people who want to learn more about this, because it does sound like one of those 400 workshops that you've run might be necessary to kind of understand how all of this kind of works. Where can people go to learn more about this and potentially even connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple resources. First resource we put together specifically for the podcast, we have a kit called our Outsmart the Market Kit, and it includes two training modules. One is all on diversifying beyond the traditional stock market. So you're going to learn all about the different types of ways in which you can invest with your self-directed IRA, from real estate to private placement type transactions and such. And we also have a video module all on private money lending with your self-directed IRA. Lots of real client case studies. So I'll provide that link to you, Jay, so you can include that in your show notes for people to be able to click the link in the show notes and download our Outsmart the Market Kit. I'd also encourage folks, very easy to go to our YouTube page, go to Equity Trust Company's YouTube page, just on YouTube, search Equity Trust Company. You'll find a lot of videos on all different types of topics. And then they can go to our website as well at trustetc.com. You'll find our phone number on there. You can call in and talk to one of our agents as well. We're happy to answer your questions, talk about your specific situation. Jay, I always let people know we don't sell investment products. We don't solicit investment opportunities. So folks know when they reach out to us, they're going to be talking to an educator, someone that's providing information and not trying to push them into a specific investment product that may or may not make sense for them.
Cool. Well, John, I learned something new today about investing, about growing my wealth. So I appreciate you spending some time with me and my audience, educating us. Thank you for that link. I will drop it in the show notes. So if you're listening to this, go click on that link, learn more about self-directed IRAs, and I'll also include that YouTube link if people are interested in learning more. But John, this was a blast. I appreciate your time, and thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it.